can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels sweet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, welcome to the second hour. This is Ralph Kermit Winterbrod II coming to you live out of Alaska, the Ralph Winterbrod Show, talking about the Rodney Class case. And that's going to be a really interesting case. They had a law firm that is a major law firm, about 70 strong, out of New York, does pro bono, a lot of pro bono work. And we talked a little bit about the last hour, how Rodney had brought up the all caps name. That's not going to go anywhere, even though it's true. And also about the case where the grand jury
was doing the indictment,
which, of course, is not according to our common law. But there's supposed to be a preliminary examination where evidence is brought in by the party that thinks they want to prosecute Rodney. Real evidence. Somebody's got to swear under oath. You get it started. And then Rodney would have the chance to defend it. The judge is supposed to then say, you really mean all that stuff? And then the judge makes the determination of probable cause. The jury does, the grand jury does not. They then, sitting, look at evidence with subpoenas. And they, by a majority of 12 out of 23, issue a true bill. That's the way the law works. Used to work. We don't do that no more. We bypass it.
We just go to the grand jury.
And they find probable cause. Do you think those people are qualified to make a determination of probable cause? I thought that's what judges did. Oh, we don't do that no more. Oh, it gets better. It's just, like I say, you can't make this stuff up. It's just, anyways, continuing on here with, then we're talking about the Rodney that had left his, they didn't get here, they had left his, some weapons in the Capitol within the parking lot, and it wasn't posted, and he ended up, a cop came by and saw what he thought was a holster. They arrested him, found guns, knife. Next thing you know, he's being prosecuted. And so the issue, again, let me go up for those that may have just tuned in here, what the issue is called. It's be factually, you can be factually admit to something, but you still, the constitutionality of the statute or constitutionality is still up for grabs. So continuing on here, where we left off, Rodney raised constitutional issues. And of course, the court, that's what the government did, they didn't answer. They always go off point. One of the things, if you do this stuff enough, you'll see that they will go off point. They'll raise an off point issue, or they won't answer the real questions, and they'll go off and take a grain of salt and try to blow it. It's like the Russian thing with Trump. They'll grow something that doesn't have any standing, and they'll blow it into a mountain. And here's what they said here. This is right out of the appellate's brief. Instead, the government argued that all government property is inherently a, quote, sensitive place, end quote, where there is no right to armed self-defense. Can you believe this? So when you step into a government place, you have no right to an armed self-defense. Shouldn't I be able to sue those people that are supposed to then, therefore, protect me? You think? And then they continue on with another technicality. This 40 U.S.C. 5014 has no knowledge or intent requirements. No mens rea. So there's no intent. Well, wait a minute. If I don't know, he had no intent. Well, we don't care whether you had intent. You violated the law. Really? You know, you can't even bother to post it. Says, following on down on this, October 27, 2014, the district court orally denied petitioner's claim that the Second Amendment rights had been violated, concluding a government-owned parking lot was the same as a government building where all weapons could presumably be banned. The court did not address and therefore implicitly denied petitioner's due process notice. The plea conceded that petitioner had violated 5104, the factual. He did not, but it did not contain any express waiver of his right to appeal petitioner's conviction, nor did it concede in any way that 5104 itself was constitutional. So when you do these plea agreements, boy, they're really difficult to get out of, by the way. The plea also included an integration clause stating that the plea comprised a complete agreement between the parties, which is really an important issue. Somebody must have helped him, or he's smart, between the parties, and that no promises, understandings, or representations have been made other than those contained in writing therein. Always do something like that. You can't trust Department of Justice. They're liars. They're liars, folks. And the plea colloquy, the formal part, the district court could appeal a conviction after a guilty plea if he believed that his guilt was somehow unlawful. Unlawful? What's unlawful? Why did he didn't say it's not constitutional? There's a reason for this. See, this is the game that they play. This is the bait and switch. I got a case here, and then I'm going to read some other. Because that's the thing. How did he say, why did he say it's somehow unlawful? This is a quote. Why didn't he say unconstitutional? Because they know there are great magicians with words. This is out of State versus TRUBY. State versus TRUBY, and it's 29 South SO period 2D 758. 29 SO period 2D 758. 1947 case. Unlawful does not necessarily mean contrary to law. Un is a proposition, prefix, used indiscriminately, and may mean simply not. And unlawful means not authorized by law. It's not authorized by law. Is pot unlawful if it's not authorized by law. And they cite a case, McDaniel versus United States. It's a Fourth Circuit case, and it's 87F324. Now, they also use a, which I cannot pronounce, this, it's a Latin, it's N-O-S-C-I-T-U-R, N-O-S-C-I-T-U-R, space A, space S-O-C-I-I-S, S-O-C-I-I-S, Black's Law. It is known from
the meaning of
a word is or may be known from the accompanying words. Under this rule, general and specific words capable of analogous meaning, when associated together, take color from each other, and that general words are restricted to a sense analogous to the least general. In other words, when you start adding adjectives or things like this, like undersigned counsel, it doesn't mean counsel no more. Undersigned is somebody that has a law degree and signed something at the bottom of a document. We have an undersigned jurist out here in Palmer. She signed it, said, I'm an undersigned jurist. She said, I don't have an oath of office. I've never been appointed by a civil commission. Go to hell. I'm an undersigned jurist. And she signed it. These federal guys, like one of them that I looked at, let's see, I think that's the one that's in Massachusetts. When we challenged the United States of America, he came back and put United States of America plaintiff by and through undersigned counsel. None of that means for. And then down at the bottom he said, for United States. That proves right there. That in one document signed by him, Rule 11, these attorneys are not supposed to be lying. You go look at the professional code of conduct. They're not supposed to be liars either, but they don't abide by anything. They're liars. Most of all attorneys are liars. Not all. There's some good ones out there, but the majority is the other side. So the judge said unlawful, not unconstitutional. Why would he do that? Because he knows. He is a great magician of the words. They're really good at this stuff. So then, and I haven't got through the rest of this because I got in here late, but the rest of this whole thing is about he did not waive his constitutional rights or the right to challenge a statute. Because the facts that he did something is separate from the statute and separate from, is it constitutional what they're doing? Big issues. These are major things. And this case is going to have some ramifications to settle this, and it's, I don't know how long all of this is nonsense has been going on between these circuits, probably for decades. But that's going to be a really, really important concept to get resolved. Why do they always use illegal and unlawful? Why do they use by law? Every time you see by law, run like hell. Never do a brief with by law. It's by statute of the United States. By statute. Because back in 1947, attorney generals, which the Department of Justice still uses, I'll pull this up and read it. They still use it. I've got their latest books that they publish up there on this nonsense that they do. And they have, you'll see the courts use it. Why don't they say by statute? Statute is very concise, very clear what's going on. Why don't they use it? See, they always use these things that are always kind of, well, it kind of looks like, sounds like, but it's not. I find it here in 1947. What bylaw? They actually changed the meaning of bylaw. And they had a reason for it. It's in the Attorney General's manual. Here it is, bylaw, right here. Oops. I am sorry. I opened it up and hit it. So what is bylaw? This is 1946 in the Attorney General manual that they brought up. And I get down to the page here. It's quite a few pages. Get down to where they actually changed it. There's a reason for it, and they did it. They said that's the thing that we don't understand is all these different things that are. Whoops, that's the long version here. Let me try to find it here. I apologize. I should have had this. I don't lay my stuff out ahead of time. I get around, and here it is right here. The original draft of the 1946 administrative law that they created in 1946. The original draft of Section 9A limited the imposition of sanctions to those, quote, as specified and as authorized by statute, end quote. So it says as specified and authorized by statute. The change of the word statute, in quotation marks, to law, in quotation marks, was intentional, so as to recognize that an agency may impose a sanction or issue a substantive rule or order. They don't do substantive rules. Or order if such power is authorized not only by statute, but by treaty. So we could be subject to international law, comma, court decisions, not holdings, decisions. Or, this is where it gets to be really good, commonly recognized administrative practices or other law. And they cite a Supreme Court case that I looked up, and it does not say in 1833 this freaking nonsense. So they can use court decisions, no holdings. This court just made a decision, no holdings. Commonly recognized administrative practices or other law. United States versus McDaniel, and it's 32 U.S. 1, 1833. It does not say that. This is the game. This is the con that these guys do. They're really good at it. I want to get around now again because this is an important issue of... lawful, unlawful. You always see lawful order. It was a lawful order. It's unlawful. What are they talking about? The police gave me a lawful order, and I'm not against the police, even though they pounded on me, and we've got some people out there in the police that are out of control. There's a few of them. I don't doubt it. Absolutely. But there's a majority of them that are on the other side of life that we never hear about. And I've known a few out here in Palmer, troopers. But they can't come out, if you will, out of the closet. Because they'll lose their job. Lawful. This is out of Black's Fourth. Why is there lawful and why is there legal and illegal or unlawful? And why did this judge say unlawful when class was talking about unconstitutional? Does the judge not know what the Constitution is? Back in a minute. I think.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promote stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Hey, we're back here again and talking about the Rodney Glass case. Again, those that said it's going to be really an important case. It's a very legal distinction. When people plead guilty, enter a guilty plea, that is factual guilt. And if you find any, sign any stipulations or any nonsense, make sure that you limit it to strictly what's on the, anything you sign, and anything that's not in that written is not implied or any way accepted. These guys with the Department of Justice, these attorneys, these prosecutors are very, very slippery. So it's factual guilt, which Rodney Glass pled to. Yeah, he had guns in the car. But was it unconstitutional and statutorily correct because there was no notice, there was no mens rea, there was no intent in the statute? So they're trying to say, oh, well, it's like murder. Okay, there's no intent. Well, there are intent in murder, different parts of murder. But in this particular statute, there's no intent. It's just illegal to do it. But he didn't have notice. There's no sign. How far out away from the building does government property, and then the audacity of the government to say that you have no right on government property to have armed defense? Does that tell you how far down the tube that we are in this country? You have no right to an armed defense on government property. You're standing there, shoot me! Come on, shoot me, man! But the elites have somebody protecting them with guns, but we don't. You can't make this stuff up, folks, because people just don't understand. And then in his thing to have the grand jury do probable cause and the indictment, they put it in writing. They did it in Ferguson. Grand juries do not find probable cause. Judges find probable cause to send it to the grand jury with a preliminary examination. I got it straight out of the Supreme Court. I've got it out of the territory of Alaska because we were one of the last ones to be overthrown. It's right there. They print it. But nobody does it. Why? Because we all signed up to give it away. Just like Esau in the Bible. I don't want to own property, and I don't want my birthright. And we keep doing it. That's the core issue of this thing. So now, getting back to this judge said, well, if it's unlawful, you can take it up. Why didn't he say unconstitutional? Because he knows. So then the question becomes, what is lawful? What is legal? What is not legal or lawful? I lost my thing here. I was going to read out of Black's Law because it's really important. These things are so important. Lawful and legal. What is the cop law say? Well, I gave you a lawful order. You see, you're driving a company car. By the way, there's another one. There's a case in Oregon that's going to be filed in a local court up there, taking on the issue of ownership of the car, because everybody signs up when you buy a brand new car, no matter where you buy it in the U.S. of A., an attorney in fact contract. And you give all right, title, and interest to the state or to the dealership to give it away. You give it away. Everything, all right, title and interest. It's a real short one-pager. And this is the way they control us. Because it's a state-owned car. It's just like you rented it. Well, then you have to, it's the terms and conditions. That's why you got to have insurance and driver's license and all this other nonsense. Because it's a state's car. People won't believe it. I got the documents. I'm in order to Wassell and got them. God, I fought for years to figure out how they did it. And it was so simple. It's just, I don't know. Anyway, lawful and legal. Is there a difference? Legal, warranted, authorized by law, having qualifications prescribed by law, not contrary nor forbidden by the law. Now, that's something to remember, that the 13th and 14th and the 15th Amendments are prohibitions. They are prohibiting state actors and state law. That's all they are. They are not affirmative. They are prohibited. That's in the 1938 Congressional Record. Unbelievable document when I saw that. The citizen of the United States remains dormant until the state law or state actors get out of line. Then Congress can enforce it. So why are the states doing citizens of the United States? Because we keep signing up for it. Yay! Back in a minute, lawful and illegal.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Okay, well, we're back here. And like I say, this Rodney Class case is going to be very interesting. How would I use some of this stuff before I get into lawful and unlawful? Factual guilt. How would I use that? How does it affect you and me? Let's say traffic. Cop pulls me over. Oh, you're speeding. He doesn't say you're speeding in the government-owned car, but you're speeding. Of course, the first thing out of my mouth is, man, am I glad to see you. I want to turn in a complaint to you because the state of Alaska stole my car. And by the way, those are felonies and you're accessory after the fact. Let's stop three times. Boy, they do not want to go there. I passed a cop doing about, let's see, it was 45, so I was probably doing 60, 15 over in a two thing, and where it gets up to 55. Boy, was he pissed and took a driver's license, come back, have a nice day, and that was it, boy. He was gone. He couldn't get out of there quick enough. How can I use this? You see, you're factual guilty of maybe speeding in a government car. But what did they not tell you? Spoliation of evidence. I got that from Trey Gowdy. I like that guy. Boy, he's sharp. Man, he can run these guys. Spoliation. Like food spoil, spoliation of evidence. They're withholding evidence from me. Did they tell me that it's a government-owned car? Do you know in Alaska and other, I presume other places, you know, it's a felony to steal property without doing it correctly and advising the other person? That's a felony, folks. They're withholding evidence. You could find me factually guilty. Yeah, I'm factually guilty of speeding in your world of your car. But is it constitutional? No. You stole the damn vehicle under the UCC. And I have to, which is I have to say I want that contract null and void. I want the original manufacturer statement of origin back because I have a right. I am a citizen of Alaska to own private property. Yeah, I'm factually guilty, but what you're doing is unconstitutional. And you can't make it legal by your nonsense. Because guess what? The judge is a citizen of the United States. He's not elected by any of the citizens of the several states. So there are no public officers. The state is operating in the world, the state of Alaska, where it has no authority. There is no constitutional government because only citizens of the United States put it there. It's like the getting a bunch of people to say, would you like to form a corporation called State of Alaska? Okay, but you got to sign up that you're a member of that, and then we're going to elect a corporation. Yep. You can't make this stuff up again. Like I say, it boggles the mind of the con job they've done. So let's get back to lawful and legal. Because there's a lot of ways to use this factual guilt. Because the statutes, they will say by law. They're copyrighted in Alaska. They say so right in front of the book. How do you have a statute that are copyrighted? That's pretty interesting, you think? Oh, just there's so many avenues on this thing. The principal distinction between the terms lawful and legal is that the former, which is lawful, contemplates the substance of the law. The latter is the form of the law. Still a little ambiguous, right? To say that an act it is lawful implies it is authorized, sanctioned, or at any rate not forbidden by law. To say that it is legal implies that it is done and performed in accordance with the forms and usages of law in a technical manner. In this sense, illegal approaches the meaning of invalid. For example, a contract or will executed without the required formalities might be said to be invalid or illegal, but could not be described as unlawful. Further, the word lawful more clearly implies an ethical content than does legal. The latter, which is legal, goes no further than to denote compliance with positive, technical, and formal rules. Positive. Remember, the 13th and 14th and 15th Amendment are not positive. They're prohibitions. While the former usually imports a moral substance or ethical permissibility, a further distinction is that the word legal is used as a synonym for constructive, which lawful is not. The legal fraud is fraud implied or inferred by law or made out by construction. Lawful fraud would be a contradiction of terms. It's by the construction. Again, legal is used as the antithesis or equitable. Thus, we speak of legal assets, legal estate, but not lawful assets or lawful estate. So the thing is, lawful takes along with it that there's ethical issues behind it. Legal is positive law. It's made formal and positive. 13th and 14th Amendments are not legal. Because guess what? It's not positive. Why is that? Because we do not understand what the hell's going on here. Why do we have to put up with wordsmithing attorneys and a, quote, government, but of course we, you and me, have put them in power. We keep voting for them. Yep, I'm a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury. I'm a citizen of the United States in Alaska. I want to have two illegal senators and an illegal representative. That is not a constitutional government. I'm doing it. You're doing it. We've all done it. You can't have a driver's license. I have. I put in citizen of Alaska in front of the gal over there, Palmer. I was saying, come on, baby. Come on. Please tell me I can't renew. Never blinked an eye. I went to the registration because I'm putting into the public record my status under the evidence rule 901 number 7. Once it's a public document, I am a citizen of Alaska. I am not a citizen of the United States under 14 stat 66 or 27, 14 stat 27, which you can find today. And where is the NAACP when you need them? 42 United States Code 1981, and especially it's even clearer, 42 United States Code 1982. A citizen of the United States has the same rights as a white citizen? Wow, man, talk about a racist statement. That was for the Negroes, the Africans. They memorialized it in the 14th, but all they did is it's a prohibition, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And then 2 years later, Congress had an epiphany. Oh, by the way, you know all you black folk? We'll get around and naturalize you so you'll be equal in all respects. We don't need that same rights as a white citizen stuff. But we've got the con in place. And you folks will never figure it out. We haven't. We just keep signing up. There are things under the law of necessity that we cannot change. Can't drain the damn swamp all at once. Because I'm telling you what, they've been working on it for many, 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 many decades. But we are challenging where attorneys cannot go. The Toppin case in Massachusetts, U.S. versus U.S. of A. That's how they get people prosecuted. That's how they take reduced to judgments. And the attorneys won't go there. And the average person, how are they going to know this stuff? How are they going to know? I don't even want to guess how many billions of dollars had been stolen from people. The United States of America, a sovereign body politic, has never made an appearance in the court. Never showed up. And we let them get away with it. I started picking at a lot of these different things, all the statutes and all that nonsense, and blow that out of the water because I'm not an individual. Because they've taken all this stuff and give it all brand new meanings. Individuals, a citizen of the United States, are an alien. Whoa, wait a minute here. That's 5 U.S.C. 552A, A2. And they can't even keep records on me unless I'm a citizen of the United States or an alien. That's in 5 U.S.C. 552A, A2. There's a 552A, and then there's a parenthesis A, and then number 2 parenthesis. Number 4, that's about records. How do we not know this stuff? Lawyer tell you that? Nope. I've got these transcripts, like John Thornton was one of the leading ones. Mac Alpine was the first one where we actually got IRS, Department of Justice, they actually walked away. Books and records. They actually said, we don't want to play with Mr. James McAlpine in North Carolina because what did he do? He brought forth the chief counsel of the United States for the IRS. They do all of this nonsense, these chief counsel notices, that are only good in tax court. And the tax court is not even a court. And the court says so. Why do they quote tax court cases in these other courts like the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 9th, all the way to the 11th in D.C. Why do they quote those there? Because they're not courts either. This Kariski case out of D.C., District of Appellate Court out of the District of Corruption, D.C., District of Columbia, put lined it all. That is an amazing case. I could not believe they're bragging about how they're screwing us. Backed by Supreme Court decisions. Why would I go to tax court if it's not a court? Why would an appellate court quote a decision from a court that's not a court? Because we don't know any better. And I unequivocally, if you are going to fight and have any chance, you must have Westlaw or Lexus. Because these guys lie through their teeth. They lie through their teeth. I've been doing it enough now that I can spot the lies. It's just like in this Supreme Court thing here, the firmness, the broader class. There's a bunch of these issues they never address. They just don't talk about it. So if we don't talk about it, it goes away. Factual guilt is different. If you plead guilty, that's the issue that's Rodney Class's attorneys. I can see why they brought this up. This is an important case, really an important case. And that's a 70-strong law firm behind him. Really an important case, which you and me can use, because we can use it on all criminal stuff. None of this, because there's no lawful government, folks. All these states are empowered by citizens of the United States. They don't exist in the Constitution. There's no public officers, because only citizens of the several states have the elective franchise to empower a constitutional republic, one of the several states. There's nobody home. That's how I got a whole bunch of these misdemeanor charges when they used to pound on me when they would get the jury in. Oh, yeah, everybody here is a citizen of the United States. Yay! I get up and ask my questions. Of course, you can't do this in federal court because the judge screens it. But in state court, we could. Hey, okay, you just signed it. What is it? Now, wait a minute. You just said you is and you don't know what you is? Really? That gives me a lot of faith that you are totally unqualified to be here. Time for recess! And we get a 43A dismissal from the prosecutor. Or go get a driver's license and that nonsense. And then they get around and they still do a 43A. We don't want to play with you no more. In Alaska. They know. I saw the first case with Gene Warner. Challenge to jurisdiction. He said, do you have a driver's license? Yep. Get the permanent fund? Yep. Do you vote? Yep, I have jurisdiction. What does he just do? Because every one of those requires me to sign up that I'm a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury. I sit there, scratch my head. That was a long, long time ago. I said, what happened here? That's the game. I saw it in John Thornton's case when we did the, he went up on Books and Records with this IRS guy. They won't answer any questions. But he was bringing up, is it subtitle A, subtitle B, subtitle C, subtitle E? What kind of tax are we talking? I don't know. We can't talk about that. Go look at these criminal transfers for these people that get convicted. They won't even bring up the type of tax it is, other than income tax, individual income tax. But what subtitle is it? They're totally different types of taxes. They really don't want to talk about who is authorized, required to the withholding agent, because that's only foreigners that they can withhold in subtitle A. Every state always has, the hook is taxable year. They have to use it. Gross income, that's fine. Adjusted gross income, that's fine. Taxable year is fine. We can't talk about withholding agent. All state income taxes are piggybacked on federal because they're all mini feds. And they just don't tell us that. And we don't know enough. Whoops, I got a thing here. Did somebody send me a thing to be on the air here? I get to talking. Ken in New York, you're up.
Taking my call. Actually, you took my question from me when you started to talk about the registration on the car. I was going to ask if anybody had implied that he was the defendant had his gun inside government property, on government property.
Well, we actually signed it away. Every brand new car is signed away, and actually in Alaska, if they don't get you to sign this stuff, they lose their dealership. And I actually got a recording of the financial officer for Wasilla. I finally snookered and got him on the phone. He knows about this, but they don't.
Yeah, I think I heard you play it a while back. You had a recording of it.
I did.
I have a secondary question, if I could.
Sure.
You've spoken on the law of necessity. What kind of creature is that? Could you talk
about that? A law of necessity is something that I cannot change, but I need it because I have to exist in this world.
Does it have standing in court in any way?
Yes. Yeah, hold on a minute. We're going to break here.
Oh, sure.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, we're back here, and are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, law of necessity. Say I went to get our driver's license, and it says citizen of the United States. Okay, the first thing is people need to understand, if you're going to take those tremendous amount of people that are not, have never been to court, they're intimidated, so there are issues that you should not challenge unless
have experience
in court and have some means to legally look some of this stuff up. I appreciate people that want to fight, but they need to get tied in with somebody if they're going to do it. They need to be able to stand up in court and not be intimidated, and that takes a little bit of experience. I got around when I was criminally prosecuted, and I put the judge under citizen's arrest. Of course, he didn't seem to like that. He found me guilty. But
I have a I have a small amount of pro se experience. I beat a hospital debt suit in New York where it was an overbilling, and I found out something new that I didn't know before. There are laws, there are rules, and then there's something called guidelines, and that's what the hospital must obey. 7 months after I was threatened with a summary judgment, I got a nice call, and the person asked me if I would sign a stip to discontinue with prejudice, and I said, sure. I just wanted to get the judgment off my head.
Well, under the law of necessity, say you went to get a driver's license, and you crossed it out and put in citizen.
York, right?
Yep.
Right? Yeah, okay.
I didn't get that. Something happened to the...
Yeah, okay. Well, say they know. Okay, law of necessity says I'm going to sign to be a citizen of the United States under the penalties of perjury because I need a driver's license under the law of necessity to exist, because otherwise then I will end up in jail and I'll end up not being able to go to work and I'll maybe end up, my family will lose the thing, will lose loan. That's law of necessity.
Well, I have a mortgage.
Because I can't, at this point, I've got a hold of something so bad that I need it to exist, the law of necessity. Okay.
So you can use that as an. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You can use that as an argument, then, even if you change your status. But say I still have a mortgage and I still have to exist. I don't want to get shot on the side of the road because I didn't have a registration or something on my car.
Right. Absolutely. These are all things under law of necessity, and I really, if people are going to challenge these things, you need to get to the base issue. The base issue is citizen of the United States. That's the whole core of this whole thing. But it takes an awfully lot of work to be able to understand it all and brief it all out. Just like in automobiles, we don't own them. Every car out here is owned by the government or somebody. Who knows what they do with the MSOs when they go to DMV. Heck, I don't know. They're probably collateralizing them, and like they do these phony mortgages. So some mortgages are a Jewish shitar. We sign, they don't.
Yeah,
we use our signature, their credit. They sell it, turn it to money, and we end up paying it to somebody else. And we say, wait a minute, what the hell happened here? We don't know.
Like
it's
magic.
A bait and switch.
Yes, I'm familiar with most of that already. I was just wondering, it's sort of like having your status changed for some things, but not for other things, and I was wondering how that would
play along. I use it,
play along.
I put the law of necessity in it, I'm redoing it, and then I'm retweaking it, and then once you get certified copies, it becomes evidence because it's a public record, and they have to stand against it, and they can't. If they want me to claim to be a citizen of the United States, 18 U.S.C. 911 was somebody gave me. That's a felony. Well, I can't claim that because I don't know what it is. But you're so you turn it around on them. I know you're informed in the law. And would you please articulate what exactly it is, please? Turn it around. Always turn it around on them. I agree with them.
Well, they're deemed to know the law. You would ask them, what choices do I have?
Well, you
because
can
they
ask
can't
them that, but these people like at the window, they don't have a clue. They're clueless. I was
all
amazed
right,
over
you.
Here in Palmer why this gal let me sign Citizen of Alaska. I don't know. Of course, I'm pretty well known around up here. I've been a rabble rouser for a lot of years.
I would imagine. All right, I'll do some reading on this because this is of great interest to me. Because if I ever decide,
well, are you IRS list or not? If you aren't, you ought to send me an email at ralph@alaskaminuteman.com. If you can afford $100 or $250 a year, post a money order. If you can't, send me. Tell me why, and I'll still add you. Okay?
No, I think I could swing it. Do you want the IRS in the subject header or in the body text?
IRS in the subject.
In the subject line. Okay.
Yeah, subject line, yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I need to know. All right, thank you. Good night.
Yep.
Thousands in your arsenal, or you own.
We got to wake up, folks.
Got to wake up. A visit to AROutfitting.com is an order.
Oh, am I hearing music? Are we out of time here?
Selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech.
Okay, well, I guess we're done then. Okay.
With no peripheral loss.
Yeah,
the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Abroad, there were some who admired the way this new Germany stood up for herself.
In America, we've had many reports.